This is Greg Locke, and he says if you're in a wheelchair, it's your fault. This is Church is Lame, and we're going to talk about how this breaks a church and what we can do to fix it.
Like, not just, like, your fault because you're in a wheelchair, but it's collectively the church's fault. Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable leap of logic that this genius came up with.
It's a fantastically stupid thing. And like there's like words is hard. So, you know, like this little thing comes to us by way of a quote on, or a little short video on Twitter. And no, I'm not going to call it by its new name. It's freaking Twitter.
That's right. It has been, always will be.
Yeah.
Fight the power, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're calling it X, like X.com should be like a straight edge website, because you know, like how they put the black X in the back of their hands. So yep.
To me, X will always be kind of like that alt rock band from the 80s.
Yeah. like King's X.
The one or... Yeah, that's another one. Yeah. King's X was a cool band. Yep.
Yeah. But to get on the real problem of Greg Locke, and I find it funny that, you know, like a little while ago, right? Like he went through all this effort to try to sanitize his Facebook and YouTube feeds or whatever from like all the, you know, controversial over the top stuff. Like he was trying to present himself as a gentler, friendlier Greg Locke.
Yeah. Like a mainstream Greg Locke.
Yeah. And then this video, it starts off with him just kind of like generally complaining about how much ramps cost because, you know, accommodating, people, according to the ADA, the American with Disabilities Act, is just expensive. And it's like, okay, yeah. Well, like, that's not like a very encouraging beginning. But then, like, he goes into saying, like, well, like, churches just aren't faithful enough because they're not healing these people and getting them out of these wheelchairs. And in a way, I mean, he just kind of also insinuates that it's the people's fault who are in the wheelchairs.
Right.
And it's just kind of icky and disgusting. And of course, he says, well, I don't care if I'm offending you. Like 8 times in the video, it's like, well, no, you don't care because you're a jerk.
Right. Hey, I've got the video here. Let's go ahead and play it so we don't have to paraphrase him. All right, here, let's do it.
You know, one of the largest expenses we have in buildings, the amount of handicap parking and handicap accessibility that we have in our churches. Now, let me make you mad for a minute, and I don't really care. Why is it you pull up to a church that says they operate in faith and you have 50 handicap parking spots? Ain't nobody lay hands on them handicap folks yet. I don't care what Twitter says. You can get mad all you want to. Fold your arms, stick your lips out, pooch them out. I don't care. I'm so unafraid of what anybody in this tent thinks about me right now in my life, I could care less.
All right, that's enough of that. Hey, by the way, he ends that little bit of phrase saying, I could care less what anybody thinks about me right now. Did you notice a security guard sitting on the steps right behind him?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it's like, no, you don't have to care because you've got like 3 armed guys within 20 feet of you. Like, dude drives me
nuts. But where were those bodyguards when he was buying that shirt?
Well,
I mean, I don't, like, I'm not like... trying to say that he's a bad person because of his shirt, but the shirt was maybe the more offensive thing to me about that video.
Yeah, I've got something to say about that a little bit later on, but let's talk about how this breaks the church.
So, I mean, like where I'm coming from, and I mean, tell me if you agree or disagree, is just that like, he's just being the same old a-hole like that he's been. And like he needed to be stopping this stuff a while ago. But
right.
Like the worst part of it is like he's sitting there saying, well, these churches, you know, like they need to be laying on hands, like they need to be having faith so people are getting healed. It's like, well, you know, where's the army of people in wheelchairs or that were in wheelchairs that you've healed?
Exactly right. Like, where's this incredible flood of people that can say Greg Locke made this change in my life? And it's a double-edged sword because on the one hand you say, well, where are these people? But like if he starts producing these people, then all of a sudden he becomes Benny Hinn, right? Or something equally as stupid, right?
Oh, I don't even want to think
so,
about
so
that.
So I don't know. I don't know which is worse. having him criticize handicapped people for not having faith, or for having him go around fraudulently faith healing people. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know.
I mean, I think if we look at, you know, just the history of the church, you know, it's like, we don't see, you know, like faith healing being a normative practice in the church for most of its history. So he's coming in now like, oh, you know, I know better than everybody else, and this is the norm. And it's like, well, it's not the norm in your churches. It never has been. So shut up. But secondly, it's like, you're trying to say that you are like something different than like the last, you know, 1900 years of the church. Like, that's a little bit of a difficult pill for me to swallow.
Right. And I like how he kind of dissembles it. Like, it's not my problem as a pastor that people aren't getting healed. It's your problem as a congregation that people aren't getting healed. And your problem as a disabled person that you're not willing to have the faith enough to step out of your own. To step out of your own reality, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And it's just like the whole thing with faith healers. I mean, like, how many, you know, televangelists or, you know, these weird big tent revivalists that are just nothing but shills, you know, have we seen in history? And so it's like, this is just kind of making like at least him, if not, you know, so the entire church, I mean, just looking like shills.
For sure. Like, without a doubt, it is when you take this weirdo cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs shill version of Christianity and you put it with a sprinkle of Islamophobia, you know, and then you throw on some, you know, some hot fudge of God Bless America, it starts to look like a cartoon instead of looking like a true movement of faith that's supposed to change the world. You know?
Yeah, and I think his whole shtick, I mean, because I think it really is a shtick. I mean, I hope that he doesn't believe what comes out of his mouth, because that would just be horrifying. But like, but his entire thing, I mean, it's like, you know, going back to, you know, the beginning of COVID, where like he was basically telling people that if they were going to wear a mask in his church, then they had to leave because they weren't welcome there. Yeah. And it's like, so you're tough enough to like wait, you know, like to wag your gun around in front of, you know, the flag in your church service, which should have nothing to do with guns or flags of anything. But a mask is that offensive to you? Like, the guy doesn't care about people. He doesn't love people. He's not there to serve anybody in his congregation. He's there to make himself feel big and tough. At least that's my take.
No, you're absolutely right. But you forgot the part where he makes himself obscenely rich.
Yeah, I did. I did forget about that.
Right. Like, there's a pillar there, right? Where you've got to satisfy the id and the ego and the wallet, mm-hmm. right? You've got to satisfy all those things or else it's an incomplete picture.
Yeah, but because I feel like that whole, like, well, I don't care, you know, if I offended you or whatever. Like, that's like the battle cry of the egoist. It's like, you know, you should care if you're offending people. That means that you're not communicating effectively.
Thank you. I was just about to say that. It's like, why are you a pastor if you don't care? Like, what shepherd does not care about the sheep? You know, especially the lost sheep.
Right.
You know, if your contention is that disabled people are disabled over a lack of faith, then those people are, quote unquote, more lost than others. So wouldn't you care about the most lost? He's just the worst kind of contradiction.
Yeah.
Because it's all so easily explained by the love of money and the love of notoriety. I made a little note here because you referred to like the shirt he was wearing. This clip, this 2-minute, 3-minute clip, it was made for social media consumption. You know, look at his outfit. Look at just how perfectly he pulled off this whole performance in these couple of minutes. He knew that this thing would go viral, and with it, you know, legions of new eyeballs and new donations and, you know, more feeding of his ego because of everybody talking about Greg Locke. If you don't know, there was another story in the news this week about the former pastor of Hillsong New York. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember his name, but he was fired because he had an affair. And because he got fired, the rules of that church is if your wife's on staff, she automatically gets fired too. So they both get fired, which is fine. Like, that's what should happen. But now, in the middle of nowhere, like, there's real news happening in the Middle East. We just elected another MAGA whatever guy for the House Speaker. And this guy decides it's time for me to come out of hiding and make a video to thank his wife for sticking by him. Like, why? And the reason I bring that up is because it's the same thing with Greg Locke. There is this narcissism that needs to be fed,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, and I gotta keep asking myself over and over again, like, what is this backwards world that we live in, that the church only exists so that its leaders can feed their narcissistic needs instead of actually going out and caring for the people that God has called us to care for?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we should be seeing, you know, these celebrity pastors, you know, doing like all this wonderful works out there, but like they yeah. don't. Yeah, I mean, and like when scripture, like you said earlier about, like, you know, if these people in wheelchairs are there because of their lack of faith, they should be getting taken care of even more because of like the weakness of their faith. Like, you're just saying right. what, like, the Apostle Paul writes in scripture. You know, it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, right. like, if whoever wants to be the greatest must be servant of all, you know, like
right.
Jesus sort of said that. So it's like, you know, people like, you know, these celebrity pastors are very often not the, you know, the servant of all. They don't try to be the servant of all. And, you know, like we talked about before in the past about narcissism being a system, because a narcissist can only be allowed to stay in that position if the system around them allows it to happen.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think a big part of this is just that the people that are around him are the kind of people that are happy to feed a narcissist.
Yeah, because that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. Like when we try to deconstruct the psyche of the person who needs to be a follower, like, you need to be like the disciple who asked, Jesus, who's your favorite? Who's going to sit at your right hand in heaven? Right? There's a specific psyche to that person, too. That, like, I mean, I think that Jesus, like, pretty clearly kind of went, really? Like, this is what we're doing? You know, that you think most Christians would kind of identify that in themselves and kind of go, yeah, probably I shouldn't do that. But that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do we fix this mess of these off-the-wall, theologically crazy, narcissistic attention whores?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question. Of course, it's the question we ask every episode.
Every week.
I mean, we don't always call them attention whores, but, you know, just generally speaking.
Right.
I think like a first step is that, you know, within our churches, our congregations, our, you know, our Bible study groups, you know, wherever, like, we do need to address this kind of a situation, and we need to kind of work out for ourselves just the absurdity of it, and make sure that right. we're all on the same page that, like, this guy, you know, complaining about building ramps for people in wheelchairs cannot be allowed to be the norm. And then we kind of need to come together. Well, what can we do in our churches to demonstrate a different norm, a different reality?
Exactly. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. Like, and yet that statement about the cost of it is especially offensive mm-hmm. because it's simply not true,
yeah.
right? Like, okay, we're gonna build a building, and so we need a parking lot. How much does it cost to put some blue paint down with a wheelchair on it? You know, it's literally the same cost. Or a wheelchair ramp. It's a couple pounds more of cement, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's baked into the mortgage. It's baked into the mortgage. So it doesn't even matter, because your mortgage and your interest rate were set at the very beginning, and it's going to be the same until you pay the darn thing off. Or more likely, if you're Greg Locke, you're going to use that mortgage to say, hey, I've got something of value, so make me an even bigger, ginormous personal loan against my church's collateral.
Yeah,
you know? It's yeah. just, oh my God. I now I've just made myself doubly mad because of the financial perversion of this all.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody just shoot me and put me out of my misery.
Oh, yeah. And I'm hoping that, you know, at least one person watching this is a city planner, and they're yelling at the screen right now about how in most, you know, jurisdictions, it's the legal code that determines how many parking spaces you have and how many handicapped parking spaces you have based on the square footage of your obscenely oversized church.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's keep going here.
And then I would just, like, my bigger hope would be that, you know, pastors that are in a position to call Greg Locke out would actually stand up and call him out. I mean, we've got the John Pipers, the, what's his name, John MacArthur. We've got, I mean, Franklin Graham's never going to call him out, you know, because he's a piece of junk. Right. But, you know, it's like, you know, maybe Francis Chan can poke his head up out of the hole he's been hiding in. And say something there are good pastors out there that could speak up and have the power to address him. And I think they should do it instead of just like allowing him to go off in wacko land. And
absolutely. Like when you get into the world of super celebrity pastor, the way Greg Locke is, the only person who's going to talk any sense into your life is another equally or more famous celebrity pastor. Right.
Yeah.
And that's sadly just the way it is. The only thing I had to add, and I agree with everything you said, is I think we are beginning to maybe realize or see the limitations of celebrity pastorship, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's great. Like, if you want to build a big church, that's great. So you have this guy who, what's the phrase? He's good for all time zones. This guy or gal, they're good for all time zones. They don't offend anybody. They found a shtick that works for them, right? Purpose-driven. Best life now. I forget what the Willow Creek thing was for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. But everybody finds a thing. They're able to use it to grow. Right. And so celebrity pastor has its usefulness up to a point, but then you have to eventually ask the question, what's it all for? What did we grow for? What did we make, you know, this money-making powerhouse for? What did we make this 20 multi-campus, worldwide ministry for? What was it made for? Was it just made so we could vacuum up as much money from as many people as we could? Or was it actually, did we create this thing so we could actually do some good in the world? You know? Yeah. And I think when you look at all these mega churches with celebrity pastors, you can't point to a whole lot of good in the world. And that's what makes me say, like, this kind of bozo-ship, like Greg Locke, it just needs to end. It needs to be time for that to die, to go back to like little local churches that actually have like fish fries and bake sales so that you can raise money and give it to the local homeless shelter. You know, that would be a much better use of church resources than you know, building your fifth fitness center, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's a tough one for me because like I look at Paul in scripture, but like he was much more of a church planter and, you know, kind of a mediating factor in a lot of them. Like there was other leadership and there was a lot of itinerancy in the early church and its leadership. But then you had Christianity was growing and it was spreading. I think today it's like, we don't really need that kind of thing in pastors as much. You know, it's like, pastors need to be focusing on their own congregation. Or if you're a church planner, you need to be focusing on planting churches and letting those churches' leadership, you know, you can mentor them, but letting them run the show. So like this whole thing where you have like these pastors that have like, you know, multiple like locations, like their Starbucks, and it's the same sermon you get at each one is kind of a weird thing to me. I mean, maybe there's a virtue to it, but I don't see it. But I feel like with that celebrity, like all the problems of celebrity come with it, I don't think there's any use we as a church anymore can get out of it. So I think I'm 100% with you on that.
Nice. All right. Well, we are Churches Lean, and you may have watched this episode and think, man, Mark and Scott really have it out for the church. They really hate the church. Nothing could be further from the truth. Words is hard. We love the church. We serve in our churches. We want the church, I would say it this way, return to its former glory. We'd love to see Jesus glorified throughout this world. We are just sure that things like Greg Locke and these kind of nutty banana statements that he makes paint the church in its worst light. And we collect these stories and put them in video format so that when somebody finally asks the question, why are churches irrelevant? Here you go. You're welcome.
Yep.
So if you've got something to say, by all means, leave us a comment. We're highly engaged on YouTube, but you know, Twitter, Facebook, all the things you can meet us at. If you're listening to my podcast, give us a rating and a review. And if you really want to take us to town with a long form letter, send us an email to churcheslanepodcast@gmail.com.
And with that, go in peace, serve the Lord. Amen.
And hey, if you especially got something out of this episode and would like to see more content just like it, somewhere up around me is going to be a card called Leadership Lunacy with a playlist of similar videos. And by all means, feel free to click on that. Thanks a lot.